Thank you. I want you to still yourself. Breathe. If you'd like, you can close your eyes for a moment. You don't have to, but I invite you to do so. I'm going to invite you to do something called sacred imagination, a spiritual practice, a way of reading and thinking, to place yourself in the text. And the text I want to use isn't ancient scripture, but the story Little Tree by Lauren Wong, which you heard earlier. I want you to think about the little tree. I want you to see yourself as the little tree. Stretch out your fingers and see little green leaves on them. Soak in the sun and the rain through those leaves. Sit up tall. Breathe. And then feel the fall coming and the other trees let go. But you hold on. That sun felt so good. And you don't want to let go. And the winter comes. Breathe. Now it's spring again, right now, but you've got that old leaf on. And there is something in you, in your fingers and your toes, feel it, and it wants to grow. But it can't, because the old has blocked it. You can't get through. Breathe. And now, one by one, drop the old leaves, the obstacles, the things you're holding on to. What are they? I want you to picture each leaf. Name it. Fear, doubt, old habits, scarcity. Name them for yourself. What are the things that are holding you back from growing? See them. Now, when you've shed those in your mind, what are the new leaves, the buds that are pushing out? What part of you wants to grow, to become? See the little green bud at the end of the branch. A whole leaf is going to come out of there. Name them. New plans, new loves, new habits, new generosity. What's there waiting to unfurl? See them. Breathe. And come on back. Come on back. What does it mean to be a people who risk? What does it mean to unfurl, to open, to become? To reach out for the sun and grow, to let go of what you no longer need and to become yourself. To get up out of the desert and return to life. To do what you knew you had to do, though it was already late enough and a wild night. What does it mean to set out, to stride deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do and save the only life you could save? What does it mean to trust the seeds of joy and hope and purpose, the seed of you, the you that is to be, and let it grow? Some may grow grander than you dream. What does it mean to risk? There's a well-known quotation which I thought of immediately when I thought about what it means to risk and when I thought about spring and coming alive, and the quotation is this: "And the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom." The day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. Do you ever feel like that? Like Ellen was describing? I mean, right on the edge when part of you wants to stay in bud, safe and curled up and unexposed to the world, but it starts to get painful, cramped, too tight, not alive. And you need to open up, to soak up the sun and grow and become. And so the day comes, and maybe today is the day. The day comes and you open, you blossom, you unfurl. And it's scary. It's scary as hell. Let's not kid ourselves. It is risky and it might all go wrong. But you just can't stay so tight anymore. You've got to speak. You've got to live. You've got to reach for those dreams. What you dreamed in the winter of your life, what you imagined in the darkness, now is the time to reach, to make them real, to come alive in the light. The day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. That quotation is often attributed to Anais Nin. Indeed, I was sure that that was who had written it, as were many of you who called the office this week and said, "Wait a minute, Matthew, I don't think that's quite right." But because when I went to find the original source, I discovered that that wasn't the case. Anais Nin didn't write those words. They were written by Elizabeth Appel for the cover of the course catalog of a university in California in 1979. Appel was the director of public relations and a part-time poet. Later, she'd become a full-time poet. And she thought of the lines as she was working on the course catalog, which was her job, and she put them on the cover, and out it went to thousands of students and households in the Bay Area. They even put ads on buses advertising enroll in class for adult learners, and there was the quotation. It was uncredited. No one but her and her boss at the publications office knew had written it. Over the years in the Bay Area, Elizabeth Appel saw the quotation reprinted often. It was on postcards. It was woven into tapestries. In the beginning, it was usually credited to Anonymous. But someone, who knows who, credited it to Anais Nin on a postcard. And it spread. So that's who most people think wrote it. But she didn't. There's good reason it got attached to Anais Nin, though, and this is why this misattribution sticks over the years. Nin, who was born in France to Cuban parents, wrote poetry and erotic fiction, and most of all, beautiful diaries. Held through her work, this theme of becoming alive, of becoming woke, which you heard in our reading, of waking up from sleep to come alive, of seeing the world and seeing yourself with new eyes, of letting your desire come alive. Your desire for joy and for pleasure and for justice and for knowledge. The misappropriated quote is often attached to words Nin actually did write, really did write, words about D.H. Lawrence and his book Lady Chatterley's Lover. Nin wrote of this, "Life is a process of becoming. A combination of states we have to go through. Where people fail is that they wish to elect a state and remain in it. This is a kind of death." And then gets attached, and the day came when. To remain where you are is a kind of death. To grow, to become is what is called for. That is what it means to live. This is a theological claim, by the way. There's an old Greek notion that the best thing, the highest power, is the unmoved mover, the permanent, the unchanging. And this notion was imported into Christianity, that God was unmoving and unchangeable, never changed. I don't think that's true. Instead, I find meaning in the ideas of process theology, which says that the holy, the universe, like life, is always changing. That God is a verb, as the radical feminist Mary Daly put it, not a noun, a verb, a process of coming alive. And everything that we know about evolution and physics and biology tells us that this is true. Life is becoming. Life is change. Life is risk, risking the bloom, risking the coming alive, risking the touch, the new beginning, the stepping out. This is about everything. This is personal. It's about how you are with your family and your friends, your work. It's about how you wish to be. It is about your health and your dreams and your art and your time. And it is about love and passion. It's no coincidence that Anais Nin wrote Erotica, or that these metaphors of spring and life are so, well, earthy. Risk is about vulnerability, about passion, about letting yourself feel alive, and feeling alive with other people who love feeling alive, and feeling alive together. So it's about that. And it's about faith, about experiencing wonder and not having to name it, about living with an open heart and an open mind, and being surprised by the holy. It's about waking yourself and your senses and your conscience and your vision of ministry. It's about taking the risk to walk with others in the ways of love known and unknown, to be in covenanted community. It's about justice. Blooming, coming alive, letting go of the dead leaves of prejudice and fear, embracing the beauty of fairness and peace. It's about justice, too. It's about saying we will not live in fear, we will not be afraid, and tin pot dictators do not frighten us. And it is about pride, about celebrating who you are and to whom you belong. It is about reaching past the differences that divide us for the fuller life, about speaking your conscience and not being silent. It is about being alive as you. I want to say clearly about how hard this is to become, to let go so that you can bloom and to unfurl. It is not all peaches and rainbows. It's hard. When God called for Jesus to be a prophet, to preach the message of radical love and forgiveness, repentance and transformation, he was scared. Like Moses before him, like every prophet, he was frightened. He trembled. Me? Really? Couldn't you send somebody else? Jonah tried to escape his calling and only came back in the belly of a large fish. So this can get pretty desperate. So Jesus goes out in the desert. He fasts and he prays. And he is offered, according to the ancient story, three temptations. Bread. Bread. Which is to say, material comfort. Don't risk it. You might go hungry. You need your paycheck. Just keep your head down and stay comfortable. Just have some carbs and be happy. It's tempting. But he says, no, no. Then he's offered safety. Cast yourself down and you'll be saved by the angels. Safety is such a temptation. We don't want to rock the boat because we might get thrown overboard. See, as mentioned before, Jonah and the big fish. But safety is an illusion. Once our heart is awake, we know we must live. Safety is an illusion. And then he's offered power. I shall make you rule over all the kingdoms. And this one is really tough. I'll tell you that this is my personal temptation. I think, you know, if I was in charge, I could make things right. I'd use my powers for good. I really would. Sometimes I'm too tempted. But power is idolatry, a false god. It is a drug that lulls you to sleep and makes you too comfortable with the way things are. So I try to choose each day to be awake, to not lose myself, to come alive. But it is work every day. It's not easy to avoid these temptations. It's easier to stay on the path we are on, to keep the peace, to hold on to those leaves, even if they've died. They used to provide so much warmth. But it is a new season. And there is something in you waiting to blossom. The green shoot is coming out of the earth, and so it's time. It's time. Though the wind cries at the windows and the voices shout, "Mend my life," it's time to stride out, to become, to move to the place where stars burn off the clouds and shine to guide your way. It's a new season. It's time to trust the seeds of your soul, to wake your body to the passion and joy of being alive, to wake your senses to the wonder of this world, to wake your compassion to every human heart, to wake your sense of justice and your power of love. It's time. It's a new season. It's time to become who your heart longs to be. It's time to love yourself for who you really are. It's time to stride into the darkness and unfurl your wings. It's time to sing with the singing beauty of the earth and dance with the moving body of creation. It's a new season. It's time to not be afraid. It's time to celebrate a holy power that moves and changes with you. It's time to live in this ever-evolving universe. It's time to reach out past division and old hurts, and time to live without hesitation. It's a new season. It's time. Today could be the day. Today's the day that the risk of staying in bud is more painful than the risk of blossoming. So reach out. Feel those new leaves growing in you. Let go of the dead and the old and all that blocks you. Unfurl and reach for the sun. Grow. Become. Today is the day. Now is the time. This is the season. It isn't easy, but we know that it is good. It is what is right and what is alive and what feels true and worthy of this, our lives. And you can do it. You can. You really can. Be not afraid. Let us live our one wild and precious life. Choose today to be awake, to come alive, to become. And let us sing. Rise in body or spirit, wake now my senses.